Good evening. We are about to start, and first thing on the agenda are the minutes of the 30th of June as published on the council website.
Suppose we accept them, Chairman.
I've got a proposition that we accept them. Is it seconded? Seconded by Christine Barron. All those in favour? Anybody against? There is a reason for asking this. Anybody against?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it was a comment that Brendan McCune had raised about the 106 agreement not being accurately represented within the minutes.
Right. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Andrew to read his original handwritten document of that particular piece. Right, and that's before, you know, if somebody's against, we need to know what's going on.
Thank you, Chairman. What the minutes reflect is the areas of discussion as opposed to what was precisely said. There's a recording on the website which Councillor McCune can listen to that'll detail exactly what answers were given to the question. But the minutes really are there to reflect the areas for discussion and anything agreed rather than verbatim.
Okay.
So I do have the notes here with me from the last meeting if there are any further queries.
And I will tell you, for the benefit of all those who said, well, what's he up to? Councillor McCune rang me and spoke to me, and I said, the only way you can talk about these is if you come to the meeting. And James has just made a comment because he also said something. So I'll ask again, all those in favour that the minutes are correct, please show.
Okay,
Councillor?
Yeah, it's you.
Right, down against, if any.
It's majority.
Carried.
None against.
All right. Now, I'm going to do something even much stranger, and that's introduce the officers, because Angela Loughran made this comment last time. She didn't know who the new officers were. So, Craig, will you introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. My name's Craig Jordan. I'm interim head of development at the Borough Council. I've sat in for Karen Tierney, who unfortunately obviously is on a period of sickness absence.
Now, Joe is sitting at the back next to, along from Councillor Beattie, and Joe is the financial officer. All right. Yeah, we know each other well. Now, you know who Francis Beattie is? You know who Jeremy is as well. John is here, and the gentleman sitting next to him is someone else I'm going to ask to introduce themselves. Stand up, Paul, tell them.
Paul Beckley, I'm the building control manager for Stafford and Cancase.
All right.
Thank you.
See, I've met him before, so I got an idea who he was. Okay, so there you go.
About the young lady
the young lady is most important, that's Michelle Smith.
Exactly.
Right, and John's here as well, because that was a conversation in the pre-meeting. Yeah, I had to tell you, John, before we get to the serious bit. At the pre-meeting, it was said, do you think John should come? And I said, of course. Okay, we'll make a start, be serious for a minute now. Right. Item 5A, the chairman. Oh, sorry. We go for apologies.
Thank you, Chairman.
Andrew.
Apologies from Councillor Jenny Barron, who's substituted this evening, by Councillor Jill Hood, and from Councillor Rob Kenny.
Right. And Rob Kenny phoned in a bit late, so there's no substitute for him. Right. Public question time.
That's nil.
Councillor session.
That's nil.
Right. Now we've come to members' item. And I'm going to ask. Oh, sorry, lost you then. Councillor Beattie. All right, for the benefit of those who don't realise, I walked past the old library, which was the entrance to the court in Market Square, and there was some function going on. And being nosy, I asked the question. I also know Frances were there, so she's going to tell us about it.
Thank you, Chairman. I was just going to say that it was a very worthwhile experience and rather exciting that this project's getting off the ground. It is reported on in the papers, so
yeah.
Picking it up later anyway.
But it's interesting to know they're beginning to use parts of the Shire Hall. For the Stafford people in particular, we knew it as the holding area for people going into the court. But then they turned it into the library. And that was, you know, very interesting to go walk about, especially, you know, trying to find books.
But sorry, I should just add it, that they're very pleased for anybody to go around and have a look.
Right.
It's the county council you meet.
Yeah, it was county council, but I did notice certain people there, so I thought, well, we'll ask the question. Thank you, Councillor Beattie. Okay then, James, you've submitted the following item.
So it's not necessarily just Stafford and Stone, but last time was my first attendance at the Economic Development Committee, and I was surprised that... certainly Stafford Town Centre, which now we know has got some exciting plans in the works, didn't feature as an agenda item, and I felt that particularly the poor state of the town centre, that it would be good if that became a permanent item on the agenda, so we could monitor and scrutinise the progress the council is making to
improve. I've lost sight of Michelle. Would you like to come and sit? Because a comment was made in the pre-meeting. All right. Now,
I'd like to make an alternative suggestion, if I might, Chair.
If you can, go on then.
Michelle can then expand on it.
All right.
And that is that we have an item, rather than this item that councillors put forward, which is more vague, that we actually have a specific item on projects and project updates that Michelle has been working on and other officers has been working on. I think that would be more useful to the scrutiny committee than a general item on how the high streets are getting on.
Yep.
Because so much of the work that we're doing is related to the future development of the high streets.
Right, well that's Councillor James this is.
I'd like to propose that that's exactly what we do. We take this one out and put in what Councillor
I take it you've got a seconder for that,
I'll
as well. I thought so.
You might like to ask Michelle.
Right, Michelle, tell me what you said at the pre-meeting.
Yes, it's actually a really well-timed question because we have purposely not had a standing item on because, as you'll know from previous discussions, there's only so much we can say at the sort of the beginning stages of projects, but you'll see from the paper that's on tonight's agenda, we've been able to go a bit further on most of the projects, so it sits quite timely. And the rationale is basically we can give you an update on projects and also the funding streams that we've been applying for. So you won't necessarily get a Stafford item and a Stone item. You could have anything from across the borough, but yeah, it makes sense to have it as a rolling item.
Right. Understood. Right. Thank you for that. Right. Everybody all right?
I want to check that's agreed.
Chair. Yeah.
Do you want to take a vote?
Well... All those in favour? Thank you. Normally the word is aye. Okay. Yep. Right. I think the next bit is yours, isn't it, Craig? So we'll come to that. Right. Right. Page 4, item 7A. Right. Councillor Beattie's name and Michelle. But are you going to lead on this, Craig?
I can do, yes.
Yes, I would like.
Questions. I'm assuming that members have read the report.
Yeah.
It gives an update. And as Michelle has just sort of referred to, the number of ongoing projects which we're hoping to take forward and are taking forward. This really just fleshes out some of the details. I can go through it paragraph by paragraph, or I can take questions as I turn up to you, Chair.
Right. We'll take them at the end of the report and we'll come back to the page numbers.
Okay, so in terms of page 5 then, going on to some of the detail, what we've done in the report is split the projects down to who's actually the lead or promoter of the scheme and who's taking these actions forward. So to begin with, we look at our own borough council. You've highlighted there the work that we're doing with regards to the town centre transformation, and in particular two public realm schemes in Stafford. So that's around Market Square and Station Approach. We're making good progress with those, particularly with the Market Square area, which we hope to see work starting later on this year. Can we take questions on that if you want?
On the first part then, 5-1 and 5-2. Christine?
Thank you, Chairman. Oh, she's not giving him a full name, Chair. the Market Square. Can you just explain why it's taken so long to go out to tender? Because it just seems to have been going on for ages with all of them. We were working towards it, working towards after Ironman, and then suddenly we still haven't got the templates coming in.
So basically, because of the way that we want the square to be used, which is clearly for pedestrians but also for events, when you start looking at the types of events that we would like to hold in the Market Square, we then have to think about the types of weights that are going to be put on the paving, the access, parking, electricity, all the rest of it. And I know things about load-bearing stone that I shouldn't know. And it's been a very complicated process to make sure that a design that we've drawn up can then technically be delivered, and that's quite tricky. And then if you add into the mix the issues there are in the supply chain around lead-in times for supply of materials, we wanted to factor that in as well, because it was no good coming up with a scheme that we then couldn't source the materials for. So where we're at now, it's a couple of months later on than we'd hoped to be, but for the benefit of the scheme. We could have made the deadline earlier, but we couldn't have guaranteed we'd then be able to deliver it, so this way it's less risky.
Right, anybody else? No? All right, Craig.
Okay. Happy for me to move on to the gateway?
Sorry?
Are you happy for me, for you to,
yep,
move on to?
Yeah. Move on.
So in terms of the Stafford Station Gateway, obviously this is our high profile scheme for the authority. We're working with our partners, Tunnel and Continental Railways, a government owned company, who are looking to realise assets around rail infrastructure, and also the County Council. We've recently published for consultation a strategic regeneration framework, and I think members will get the opportunity to be briefed on that next week.
Right.
What we want people to sort of respond to is whether we've got the vision right, the objectives behind that framework, and whether we're going in the right direction in terms of delivering what we think and hope will be a wonderful scheme which will showcase Stafford and attract people here both to live, work, play and invest as well.
Right, so this all council invited on the 5th of September.
6th.
6th?
Only session
on Monday the 5th,
and then there's a public
drop-in session on Tuesday the 6th. 5th day.
So it's the 5th?
5th day,
6
o'clock, I've got.
Sorry?
It's 6 o'clock on the 5th, I've got.
Yeah, 6 o'clock on the 5th. Okay, so it's open for councillors, not the public. The public get their chance the next day. All right?
Take this opportunity to encourage people to have a look at that framework and support it if you feel it's worthy of support, and if not, please respond accordingly.
Yep.
Let us have your comments, and we'll feed that into a report which will come back to Cabinet in due course.
Right, James first, Chris.
I my apologies because I've got another meeting that evening, but in principle, I think it looks like a fantastic scheme. Just out of curiosity, because it looks like there's going to be a new shopping complex area part of the scheme. How do you see that impacting the existing town centre?
So the intention is that it won't. So any retail that would exist on the Gateway site, and we use a planning term now, will be ancillary to the other uses that are on that site. So it's not in any way designed to compete with the traditional town centre at all.
Right, Councillor Barron. All right.
Just to add to that, what we are doing is making sure that there are proper walkways and cycleways in the centre of town, so that it is easy to get from that new development into the heart of the high street, which is particularly important.
Right. Okay then. And again, we'll say it the 5th of September. Gareth?
In broad terms, is the Gateway project the largest monetary project that we're dealing with?
Yes and no. I think that the Meesbrook site is larger, but that's not as progressed as the Gateway. So I'd say the Gateway is the biggest one currently at this stage, yeah.
This is the major project that we've got on the scale.
This is the jewel in the crown, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Remember that bit about the jewel in the crown.
I will.
All right. Right. We go over the page then, page 6. Meesbrook Garden Community. Gareth? Sorry. Craig.
So we referenced Meesbrook already, so this is our garden community proposal, which we're hoping to progress further. We've been given support by government to allow us to undertake a number of background studies and gather the evidence to work up a proposal that we can take forward. Simultaneously, we'll be coming forward with a proposal in our local plan for options documents, subject to member approval, and going out for consultation. So the two pieces of work are taking place in parallel. We will be going public, so it's important that you're aware of what we're trying to do here, which is to bring forward a garden community which is part of an overall spatial strategy for the borough. Our way of accommodating further new housing, but also providing a sustainable community that meets the requirements of both residents and the borough. So there will be employment, there will be health, there will be potential other facilities that will accommodate the needs of people as well. It's just the housing. So that paragraph there just highlights the money that we received to date from government to help us support the work that we're doing. We're working with a number of partners, including Homes England, government agency, it's encouraging further housing development, meeting the needs of the country in that respect, but also there's various other strands of work taking place as well.
Right. Anybody got any questions? I thought the council that represents the area nearby may have something to... Sorry, I was looking that way instead of that way, sorry.
Are we going to be impressing upon developers that it absolutely has to be a green project, that, you know, carbon footprint is nil, etc.? Because I think it's sadly lacking on the planning committee at the moment, because we don't have the right to ask developers to do it. I think it's very, very important to show residents that we really are serious about our carbon.
So we have a set of principles that lie behind what our vision is for Meesbrook, and one of the reasons that you're talking about, ensuring that it's sustainable. It ticks all the boxes, it's a horrible phrase, but it meets all the requirements with regards to sustainability, addresses the green economy as well in terms of what we can use Meesbrook to do to generate jobs as well as serve those people who will be the future occupants of the house.
Cool.
Yes.
And through you, Chairman, if I can just come back to Craig.
Go on.
And are we going to make sure that we hear about green spaces and they're woefully inadequate when we see the developments that are tiny? Are we going to make sure that we get our green spaces for our families, and that there's lots of leisure space and cycles, etc., so that the leisure side for families, to me, the mental health is as important as it is for employment. You've got to get the synergy right between the two.
That's right. Yeah, well, yes, we are. Obviously, the fact that we're talking about a garden community, includes in the title there, we're looking to establish a green, sustainable form of development which meets a number of objectives. We want to encourage people to want to come and live here, so it's got to be a good quality, just in terms of design, how it functions, how it operates. So those people that we will engage with in have a clear set of parameters to work with. And you know, Michelle and her colleague Maxine, who you've met, are doing a great job in pulling all of this information together. So when we do go to planning, as they say, we will be very clear in what we're seeking to achieve.
Thank you, Chairman.
Right, James Nixon first, Francis.
Yeah, I did want to just thank Michelle and Maxine for their engagement with myself and Rory over the last 12, 18 months. Their dialogue's been their first class on it, so we've kind of been privy to quite a lot from each book over the last 12, 18 months or so. Your point around health is interesting, though, because obviously that's an NHS statutory responsibility. How do you think Well Homes England be supporting us with you know, getting a GP practice included on site, or how would that work?
Would be as providing it, but we'll be looking to engage with partners. So what we're doing at the moment is looking at a health impact assessment, which is something which is quite unique. It's, you know, it's the first time we've done one of this product from where. So that we're looking at the health requirements that will be linked to the new development and ensuring that we work then with partners to see how those health needs and requirements can be met through the providers that you talk about.
Okay, Francis.
Yeah, thank you, Jen. Just to follow on from what Craig said, it's absolutely important that the local plan incorporates all of these things as well. And that's everything from sort of BREEAM standards, Homes for Life, and all the rest of it that our standard government, John will tell me, they're certainly government recommendations, but we are to some extent at the mercy of the government, and they've made a lot of very strong noises in the planning proposed planning legislation about bringing innovative answers to dealing with energy use in properties and so forth. We can't do much until that legislation is pinned down, because what happens, of course, as we all know, is that the developers wriggle out of it because of viability tests and so forth.
Yeah.
And again, I think there's legislation in the offing which will insist that the viability tests are done at the policy planning stage rather than at the individual planning stage. John will probably correct me on all of this, but the point I'm making is that it's really important that we get our policies right at this stage, because you can't wait for the actual planning applications to come through. Am I totally wrong, John?
No. Everything all right, John? You don't want to say anything? I knew it was good to invite him.
So just finally, Chairman, if everybody, when the local plan consultation comes through, please look at it from those sort of green spaces and from green spaces.
Sorry?
It's
worth mentioning a special meeting.
Yeah. We've got it written down, actually, for the benefit of the members of this committee, the 4th of October. At the moment, is it? We went for Alex Yandell to come back and say, yes, it's the 4th of October. Is that the date we've agreed?
I think it's the date agreed for a special meeting of this committee with all members invited.
So it's a meeting of this committee, and we're inviting all councillors to attend.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the committee will sit as they are, and the other councillors can find seats around. But it is a meeting of this committee to look at the local plan. All right. Okay, then. So that's now we come on to Westbridge Park.
Yes, yeah, so obviously Westbridge Park is another one of your objectives in terms of delivering a high quality destination park in Stoke. And since I've started in April this year, we've been working on putting out contracts for pieces of work. So there's two elements to this. There's the main works, so the landscaping and the actual contouring of a new site to prepare for what we want to provide for. And secondly, there's the wheel sports element. So there's two separate elements. And we're working with two different contractors at the moment to facilitate the scheme. It will be subject to planning. So there's a lot of work going on at the moment, which is looking at the ground conditions and the needs of the development going forward in terms facilitate them with the works that needed to be progressed. So there's a lot of investigatory work taking place as opposed to actually seeing things on the ground at the moment.
Right, thank you.
In due course, you will see things happening, as I say, subject to planning, and hopefully we'll deliver the scheme, which I know you've all been waiting for a long time.
Right, has anybody got any questions about it?
Yeah, this must be one of the most investigated areas that I've ever known in all my years of being the council. Everyone knows it's built on a tip. Everyone, every mum and his dog. And I have to giggle, but as predicted, that the works to commence in April 2023, and of course that's no coincidence because we have the elections in May. But I'm delighted that, you know, we are actually getting somewhere now. Just sort of holding my breath that the Wheels sports area, which is the most important part of this development for all our young people, I'm just hoping that there's not going to be any delay on this because we've got two different contractors. It is so important. We've got Westbridge Park, which I'm sure all of you know is quite a large area of greenery, and every day during the school holidays, lots of kids on there playing ball, rounders, everything. I just can't wait for this to come. And let's hope that there's going to be the usual lineup with the foot on the spade for the press on that. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Anybody else? Well, I'm going to ask the question, what is actually meant by the wheeled sports element?
Skateboards and things of that nature and that kind of activity. We will bring forward more.
So it's not wheelchair, wheelchair sports.
Michelle will answer that.
I've asked this question as well, and it's basically to cover, it's not intended as a wheelchair access space. My understanding is it was originally a skateboard thing, but then it's skateboard and inline skates. BMX and scooters
are there as
well. Councillor
Phillips.
As it's been alluded that the timing of the commencement of the works is political, can the officers just explain why that date is the one that's given and if it is anything to do with the election? Because it's my understanding that you're supposed to be able to.
I can respond as an officer. No, I mean the issue here is how quickly it's been to be able to engage with contractors, then work with them to get to a programme which we can bring forward and can be delivered. So that is apolitical. That is just the fact that we're having to do all of this work. I can't comment on that, but I'm responding in terms of, you know, the actual designs that have to take place in the work. So that's the programme.
Can I say that we're not going to go into the politics of this? You know, either side can think what they want. I have to be neutral while I'm the chairman. So we'll stay there. Thank you. Who was that? Was that?
It's not me. It wasn't me.
Hang on. We'll go back to Mrs. Hood.
Yeah. I'm just picking up on what Michelle said about wheelchairs. We did have a really lovely disabled play area on Westbridge Park, but it became really old and outdated, so it had to be removed. But I think the beauty of this wheeled area is that it encompasses all abilities, and it's risk play, and it's so exciting to know. And you know, if somebody wants to take a wheelchair on there with a small child, so what? You know, fully inclusive. It's just going to be brilliant. So, Jack, you'll have to come along with your skateboard.
No, I shall wheelchair. Bring the wife in her wheelchair.
Said that.
I don't whether, can't remember when she, well, since I've known her, she hasn't played netball, but she could play. She played football.
Brilliant.
I knew
thank
that part.
Thank you, Jack.
Right. Brian Cross.
Yes, when we had the new park built in Holmcroft,
we had part of the play area was for disabled access, so you had roundabout swings, etc., that could be used by disabled.
That's good. Right. Okay, so that Westbridge part finished then? No other comments or questions to Craig? Right. The others are projects led by the County Council, so we're back to you then, Craig.
Yes, so obviously, Councillor Beattie has referenced the Shire Hall.
Yep.
Purposing. So you've got a bit more detail there. Obviously, the first incumbent is the staff of the Chamber of Commerce, which is good. It's a good start. And as again Michelle mentioned earlier, and Francis, we need to encourage as many businesses to use that facility because it is superb. And I joined Francis that day. I think it was the hottest day of the year. With the suit on, very enjoyable.
Yes, so I happened to be passing by that particular day, and that's how I knew that Councillor Beattie was in the building. But I think it would be worth members of the committee going and having a look, especially the council that represents that area. What the hint is that? Okay, so we now move to another in your area, the History Centre.
Yeah, so this is obviously a project that brings together a number of collections and interests into a new building, a new centre for Stafford, in Staffordshire. But good work is taking place, and we are looking to potentially support this through our UKSPF, which we'll talk about later in the paper. So we're helping the county deliver this project. I think they're going through a procurement exercise at the moment, and like all of us, we're interested to see who they actually finally procure and how it works out.
Anybody, any questions? Christine?
It's good. I hope it's a success because he really consult, hasn't he?
Yeah. Are you? I'll declare an interest. I did a lot of research there. If you've never been, when they open it up again, the William Salt Library, it's well worth going and having a look. It's the most interesting place. And William Salt started this collection, and that's why the name is on there. But it's nice to know they're actually bringing all the building, all the record office and the museum, etc., all together. Right, so thank you for that, Craig. Now we move to Eastgate.
Yes, so as the report says, this is a cleared area of land which we are interested in what the County Council would like to bring forward here. I know they're doing various pieces of work to establish the most appropriate uses. I don't know if Michelle can add any more detail to that, but it is something which we know they've been looking at various options and development mixes.
Yeah, I'd anticipate that when we come back in November as part of our new standing report, there should well be a more detailed update on the Eastgate coming down.
Just a moment. You know where it is?
Yeah.
Right opposite when we come out in the car.
I was asking, was there a car park?
Pardon?
I was asking, was there a car park?
It's a car park. Now, Dee is going to ask a question about this.
Yeah, I've had a number of inquiries come to me asking about the car park and whether those facilities can be used by the public when not being used by the County Council like they used to be able to do, particularly given that the majority of businesses now at the centre of town.
And so we talked to the County Council about this. So the car park use that's there is very much a temporary use, purely while the site is cleared. The difference between the car park as it is now and as it was previously is obviously you can see the footprint of the magistrate's court has gone. It's at a different level. That car park's not laid out for public use, so it would need resurfacing, it need relining. You then need to think about how you make sure that there aren't too many cars on there. There's insurance implications, so it's actually quite an expensive thing to do to convert flat space into a publicly accessible car park, which if Robert Simpson was here, he would give you a far better answer on that than I. But essentially, it's not just a case of lifting a barrier and allowing people to park, there's quite significant costs involved in that, and so you kind of have to weigh that up over the period that it would be in use, and the County Council aren't looking for this to be a long-term use.
Right. Anybody else?
Can you just add to that, Chairman? When the History Centre work begins, the County Councillors will lose their car park, and therefore the temporary car park will be, as I understand it, will be made available.
Yes, there. It's going to be theirs, isn't it? Right. Christine?
Thank you. Yes, Chairman. There's also the added maintenance costs as well, the ongoing maintenance costs of car park, which many people don't think about when parking the cars. But a lot of people have contacted me about this and said, what is going to happen there? What is going to, you know, what's going on? And it seemed as if at the time it was going to be some kind of housing production, but now we're not quite sure.
And that's what the County Council are doing this piece of work on at the moment, which basically says, this is the site, this is where it is. What's the market like in terms of, would it suit residential development, would it suit commercial development, is it something that would actually be viable to develop? So that's what they have to do.
You look along East Gate Street, tell them to look along East Gate Street, look for shops, and these are individual traders out there who are doing roaring trade. Well, absolutely fantastic, doing a good trade. I'm not talking about Jim's shop, I'm talking about the shops opposite, on the opposite side of the road. And they're really doing well there. And I think, you know,
okay. You want to say something? Gareth?
In a minute.
Oh, not
finished,
this one.
Have you finished, Clive?
Yeah, we're finished on East Gate.
Over. I just then, I should have done it at the beginning, but I wanted to declare an interest in 5-4 as a deputy chairman of Newcastle and Stafford Colleges Group.
Oh, I didn't know that. You declared an interest in 5-4. Okay, so now move on to Stafford College.
Yes, so this is an exciting project which you'll have seen metalworks going up, and some good work taking place there. Myself and Tim Flake, the Chief Executive, and Councillor Pert met with the college recently and had a bit of a guided tour of what's going on there. Superb facility which will hopefully consolidate the college's activity within Stafford and the wider borough, and build upon the good work that they're doing already to encourage and improve good standards of education. So if we've got the right facilities, people want to come and access those. So I think it's great for all age groups as well.
I would share that, Chairman, I would share that view. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for Stafford. It's extremely well placed. The college is developing greatly since Newcastle College became involved in and developed a group. And I think these two projects, one to modernise the Palmbourne site and the other to develop the Earl Street site.
Right.
Earl Street's, every time you don't go down Earl Street, you see a huge amount of change. And I think that it will be a huge credit to the town. And it's the opportunities, these are the link to the station, which is an unintended consequence, but I think there will be big benefits from that, because I've been surprised at the number of people who come to Stafford College by train.
Yep.
And I think that number will grow.
I'm sure Andrew will corroborate that, the number of people come on the train.
This is a huge innovation, which is very exciting.
All right. Okay, so we move on to the Newcastle and Stafford paragraph.
Yes, so again, this is good news. The Newcastle and Stafford Colleges Group submitted a bid to government back in 21 to set up an institute of technology, and they were successful in that bid, only 9 in the country, which again is encouraging. Obviously, the government are keen to invest in the area. This will build upon what's taken place already. The site is likely to be within the Stafford Gateway area that we've talked about, so that again is encouraging. And the big issue here is the link between education, training, and the job market. So this is how we work with business. This is how we strive to encourage people to be the future people working in industry. And if we can skill them up and make sure they've got access to the right training, and it gives them a better opportunity when entering the job market.
True.
It also makes Stafford and the borough far more attractive for those businesses that might not at the moment see themselves as wanting to locate here, but certainly will in the future. So, you know, this is a good news story, and hopefully we'll be able to see it come to fruition in due course.
Chairman, it might seem a bit pedantic, but it was nine of phase two, because it was already a phase one. This nine that's been referred to is phase two of the rollout of Institutes of Technology.
Right. Thank you for that. Right, we now move on to 5.5, levelling up. Don't you? Would you play an interest in this?
So,
Councillor Jones?
No.
So these paragraphs, 5.5, and the two schemes that we refer to here, are again an opportunity to bid in for government funding. So with the levelling up fund, it is, as it says on the tin, it's a fund that's been set up by the government to help try and level up the areas of the country and ensure that people have good opportunity to access jobs and training and skills. We address cultural deficits. We provide for people who maybe feel as though they live in more deprived circumstances, and we level up the agenda across the country. So that would encourage GDP improvements and ensure that the country is more competitive in world markets. So, you know, if we're all working together, we will succeed as a country. That's the idea behind that initiative. And with this levelling up fund, what we have done here is submit a proposal to government to draw down some money to support us with the Stafford Gateway site that we talked about earlier. And in particular, remediate land within that area and make it fit for purpose in terms of then bringing forward development proposals in line with that strategic regeneration framework. So we've submitted a bid. It's £20 million worth of government funding if we're to be successful. And I think we're looking for some kind of decision being made
that morning
in around October time.
Okay, sorry about that, Craig. Somebody's phone went off. It's normally a fiver for the mayor's charity, former mayor's. So the levelling up fund round two, that land is part of the state, the gateway.
Yes.
All right. It's near this side of the railway or the far side of the railway?
Well, it's to the west, isn't it?
To the west. Yes.
So yes, again, this is a levelling up fund bid that we've made in our name, but it's also to help support the county council as well as being one of our partners. So fingers crossed with that.
Right, we've got questions. I'll take D first, because I've... Go on.
So obviously, A, with the cost of living crisis that we're currently facing, and B, if you don't get it, how will it affect?
Obviously, we are keeping our fingers crossed that the government is seeing this as a good place to invest. And given the track record so far in other projects, you would think that we have a good chance, but we are competing with other areas. We will have to see what is. If we don't get the money, we will need to factor that in terms of our delivery programme and also how we work with other partners. Because, you know, what we've got at the moment is a scheme which is effectively showing a viability gap, and hence the reason why we are looking to submit a bid for public intervention. If that intervention isn't there, or that support isn't there, then we would have to look at alternative sources of finance.
Okay, question. Somebody else on this side has?
No, my question has been answered, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, okay then. So that was page 7. I'm going over the page.
Shared Prosperity Fund.
Second element of paragraph 5.
Oh, sorry. I will be honest with you. I thought you'd moved off
so
the previous one and moved on to this one. I'm sorry. Sorry, Craig. Go on.
So, UK SPF, for short, is the government's replacement for European funding, obviously since we've come out of the European Union. This is to again support communities in delivering a variety of objectives intended to provide for economic prosperity and also provide for a range of benefits that you would expect to see in any community. We were allocated 4.6 million through this fund. So the money, as they say, is in the bank, effectively. We just have to submit an investment plan to satisfy government that we have the means to then deliver £4.6 million worth of investment in our area. So we worked with a range of partners, and by the August deadline, we submitted an investment plan, which hopefully, again, in due course, we will get the thumbs up for, and we'll be able to start drawing down that money and delivering a variety of projects against a set number of themes which our cabinet were very keen for us to explore as part of that process.
Right.
Around the rural economy, visitor economy, town centre transformation, innovation, amongst other things.
Can I ask if that 4.6 will involve a lot of recruitment of technical staff, specialist staff, and if that is seen as a difficult problem to deal with?
Would this be technical staff at the council or the county council or the college?
No, not the college. I'm talking about.
Yeah,
is
I
it going to be done on the basis of subcontracting, or are we going to do it by recruiting people in house?
Okay, so there's a variety of projects which form the investment plan and form the basis for it. The simple answer is, I hope not, because the money is only 4.6 million. It's a big number, but it's still looking small in the scheme of things. Michelle probably will explain a bit more about we can use some of that money as administrative revenue to support facilitation and delivery. But the great amount of that, the great substantive amount of that money is intended to deliver the projects themselves.
Mrs. Hood first, I'll come to you then, Michelle.
Yes, I think I'd probably have to declare an interest here. I'm not exactly sure about how worth it.
That's in the UK Shared Prosperity Fund?
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
In that paragraph.
Thank you.
Michelle, it is then.
Yeah, so basically, to expand on what Craig said, a very small percentage, I think it's about 4% of the overall award, we're allowed to bid to be able to recruit people to support the delivery of the schemes. So
4% of the 4.6?
It's a maximum of 4%, but I don't think we're looking at anywhere near that full amount. Essentially what you've got is a number of different projects that will then have their own delivery programme. There may be legal agreements involved, contract stuff. So basically we will have the ability to recruit somebody to administer each of those projects. But it's a very small portion of the overall.
Okay.
No, I think I understand that. But basically, we're not going to be recruiting people.
No. No, not to act as taking on extra staff. Technical matters. All right.
So just the summary paragraph of the report, Chair,
yep.
Really just to bring all those strands together to explain how, hopefully, the delivery of all of these various projects and plans and schemes that we make that a substantial improvement in the conditions of the borough, both economically, socially, environmentally, and that we're setting off on the right direction of travel in terms of delivering these things over the next few years, and that we start to see the gateway come forward, we start to see improvements in the town centre, we have a new settlement garden community coming forward. And on the back of that, hopefully, we will generate further investment, which isn't necessarily reliant on public intervention.
Right. Any comments?
I move that the report is noted, Mr. Chairman.
Seconded?
I'll second.
Okay, there's three or four people seconded. Agreed?
Yeah, it's a very exciting report.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, we move on. The page 8. Anybody got comments about page 8? I don't know whose idea it was, but certainly this was a shock when I turned the page. Okay, so we move on. We now come to item 7B, And who is going to lead on this?
I think Tracy's obviously not in attendance tonight, so I think the idea is that we will just take questions on the report.
Yeah, all right. I know that Joe will deal with the finance part, but I think Michelle is going to talk about page 10. So I'll call the pages open. All right, page 9. Over the page to 10. Right, 5.1 then, Michelle.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, so basically we just highlighted the fact that PACE loans across the development service are high because of the different stages of the development process that as a local authority we interact with. And you've got most of the starring players here tonight, so you've got the planning process, the building process, land charges, and street naming and numbering. So it's basically just to give a bit of context behind the performance figures that you'll see, that across the board we're still experiencing quite high demand on service.
Okay. Anybody got any comments on that first paragraph? No. The next paragraph about launching, the government is saying this is a levelling up fund. We'll say no more about that, being in the chair, whether we get any money. Right, and then again you've got the implications. Right, on page 11. And we start the real work on page 12. Now, Paul, you can come to the table if you wish. All right? You can sit at the end. Michelle, give way there. Right. I want to draw your... I asked a question at the pre-meeting. How come we've got building control? Because as I said, I have met Paul before, obviously on another committee. And the point is, these items have been moved from resources to this committee. So first time that Paul's had to come to this committee. All right. Martine Manning is not here, but you've got the comments made that she makes along there. I also was going to draw your attention to something before we move off this. Martine Manning, what was the web page?
It was a business report, was it?
It's a business bulletin.
A business bulletin. If you haven't seen it, have a look at it. I thought it was excellent, and I did ask Andrew to make it known to Martina that I thought it was well. All right, and I'm looking forward to the September one. Okay then, so we'll start on page 12. First one, number of existing buildings. No. Next one is number of new startups. No. Alright, now we come to the building control business. Alright. Would you like to take us through those, Paul, because this is new to this committee? What it actually means.
Thank you, Chair. So the first one, L13, is the actual applications we get in validation. So we get applications in two forms. They're either full plans, where we have drawings, or they're a building notice, which is a notification, which is mainly domestic work. The full plans covers domestic and commercial. And we've got that indicator there to validate those applications within 3 days, is that what we aim to do. That's the applications we receive as a council.
Right, next one.
So this is the actual dealing with the full plans application themselves, so where we've got plans and designs. We have to assess those for compliance with building regulations and check the designs. And if we've got comments, we go back to the agents and architects to ask them to amend the plans to comply with regulations, or we approve them. And again, we aim to do the 70% within 3 weeks of receipt of those applications.
Right, thank you. Next one.
So we inspect work as it's being constructed at various stages. We do those inspections with the, we receive inspection notifications up to 4 o'clock on a weekday, and we promise to carry out those inspections the following working day. So that target is to measure the percentage of those inspections we carry out the following working day. And again, we've got a target of 99%, which we've achieved.
Right. And the last one is about the customers being satisfied.
Yes. So at the end of a project, we issue, if we've done all the inspections that we need to do, we issue a completion certificate. With that completion certificate, we send out a link to an online survey. So those are the results for those, from those customers who choose to undertake that survey. And we measure their satisfaction, whether they're very satisfied, sort of neutral, dissatisfied, or very dissatisfied, amongst other things. Yeah.
Right. Question?
I'm sorry, Jack, I should have come back earlier, but I think just a point of information in relation to L12. Am I reading this right? The quarter one target was for 10 new startups, but in actual fact there were 107, so 10 times the number of startups than we were targeting to have.
That's correct.
That's a huge variation.
It's been a huge success story. These are startups. And what we're really interested in now is the next stage, that those startups survive for 2 and 3 years. So there's a lot of work the party is getting involved with now.
Right, okay. So it is 107.
Yeah, good.
All right, Mrs. Hood.
Yes, thank you, Paul. What percentage of the building control customers actually send back their survey, complete the survey?
It's very low in reality, and that it's probably only about, it varies, but probably only about between 5 and 10%.
So we can take it that they're satisfied.
But, well, on that basis, yes. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on that page? All right. Thank you for that. We turn over to page 13. When I can do that. Right, we're on page 13. Are there any questions on page 13?
Yeah.
Councillor James?
122.
122.
Target. Do we know why?
Are you answering on behalf of Anne Nevin then? Well, you may come to the table.
That's very kind of
you. Do you notice that? Members of the committee, only allow them to come to the table when I question. All right, Councillor Pert, you answer that one.
Good evening, Chair. Thank you. I think the notes are actually fairly self-explanatory. You can't look at housing delivery in a very short time frame of just a quarter. You need to see what the long-term trend is. So it's interesting that the notes refer to exceeding target of 25% last year. And that's 25% of the same target of 210 that has been part of the local plan for, well, ever and a day, to 2011 from memory. The committee will be pleased to know that actually the delivery of affordable housing since the start of the local plan is more than on track. You'll note that the figure for the pipeline is still healthy, with 163 sitting in the pipeline. I think, however, it would be probably false and foolish for me not just to leave whilst I'm happy with the current performance, which is what I think I'm trying to reflect in terms of that initial target. I think one should just be extremely careful about the long-term prognosis and pipeline coming through of housing development. There are a number of things. You know, one of them is that you've got developers claiming viability and affordability issues with delivering the level of affordable houses as part of the local plan requirement. The second thing is there is probably a sea change in terms of a need not just to deliver affordable homes within the registered providers, but also to look at some of the energy saving measures as part of getting to net zero. And housing providers, much like councils, much like businesses, have a requirement to go and get and achieve net zero. And as a result, there is a whole retrofitting programme, which will last for 20 or 30 years to help on that journey. And so not all the money that would have presumably previously been allocated by registered providers to building houses is likely to go towards doing that. Some of it is going to need, unless there is government intervention, significant government intervention, is going to lead to some redrawing of some of those business plans to look at both those objectives.
Okay, all right. Any other questions on the page?
Next one, Mr. Chairman, is 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. John? Hang on, John's going to come to the table, he's here. Yep, okay.
Figures appreciated and good, but the one thing I wanted to ask about was what about enforcement?
Can see there isn't an indicator for enforcement. It's something we've thought about in the past, but you need to have a meaningful measure. So you could do similar things that Paul's done on number of complaints registered, acknowledged within 3 days or something like that. You can do that, but that in itself doesn't really tell you much. One of the things we've had over the last couple of years is more complicated enforcement cases, so they're generally taking longer to deal with. So even if you, for example, try to do an average time, it could be skewed by one or two significant things. So don't have a problem with doing an enforcement indicator, but thinking of something that's meaningful, not just to us, but to you as well. You know, there's no point in having one for the sake of it. If this committee wants to suggest something, I'm quite happy to come up with it.
All right, carry on.
I'll think about it and come back to you.
All right. A question is, have we replaced our long-serving enforcement officer? I know that, didn't he have to...
Eddie,
right.
Basically, about 12 months ago, we lost the entire enforcement team. Eddie was one, but two others as well.
Yeah, though.
We recruited two officers about 12 months ago who had no previous enforcement experience. One had worked in planning before the one happened. And at the same time, we have used an agency experienced enforcement officer to deal with some of the more complicated cases. That's been progressing quite nicely, but one of the two we recruited a year ago is now working his notice, so there is a report going to Cabinet briefing next week to seek approval to fill that post.
Right.
We also are looking to fill the senior enforcement officer post, which in effect the agency person has been doing, and again that report is also going to
Okay, does this come under your banner, Craig?
Yes, it does, yes.
John's. I know there was a reason I asked John to come.
Yes, it does.
Right. Now, are you satisfied with that answer, or you want to question again?
I'm happy. I'll go away next week.
Okay.
put an indicator. I'll think about it.
All right. I'm down at the bottom of the page. We'll have me first and then you. Right.
Again, one, two, four. Improvements and measures towards local projects. Again, this is below target.
Michelle, I think you better come and help.
Yes, so one charges is within my team. So basically, when we do the local land search, probably about 75-80% of the questions relate to things that we can get the information for and complete the search. But there's then a significant chunk that relates to, it's primarily highways questions. There's a few other bits and pieces, but highways. And the county council have to do input on those. It's a very small team at the county council, and they're doing this for all of the districts across the county. So if they have sickness absence or in the middle of the summer, that can have an impact on their turnaround times. What we do have is a really good relationship with the team, and they flag to us if they think there's going to be a problem in turning around that element of the search, because the problem for us is we can't release the rest of the search until we've got that bit, and anything that's particularly urgent, they will try and prioritise so that there isn't a result of impact on the sales. It's just an unfortunate thing, but with land charges, where we've had a little bit of backlog before, and I would say it has been significantly higher than this. So when we came out of the series of lockdowns in 2020, people hadn't been able to view houses. There was an enormous surge in searches, and it took us a good few months to recover from that. I'm not too concerned about the number of days we're currently looking at.
Right.
Another question has been
asked. Same one. Thank you. It's quite interesting. People are asking the same question. Okay, we move on to page 14, delivery of the town centre transformations programme. Anybody ask about that one?
We've already dealt with it, haven't we, Chairman? We've dealt with it.
You think we've dealt with it?
Yeah.
All right.
I just want, well, I've had a number of, a couple of trainers that actually live on my ward that come to me and just roughly when, is it after Christmas?
Okay, item next one down, delivery of the stations gateway. We're dealing with that later. All right, Meesbrook Garden Centre. Oh, sorry. That was a good drop, that one, wasn't it, eh?
There probably will be one there,
Chair. There probably is one there. I don't know why it suddenly came to mind, but I thought I knew there was one there. Okay, it's the community. Right, it'd be interesting when that finally gets off the ground. There's a lot of information down in that one. Anybody question on it? It's obviously getting late in the evening. All right, no, we go over the page. We're on to page 15. Okay, this at the top, Sally MacDonald is not here, so anybody got a question?
Yes, I have, Chairman.
Yeah.
I think it's for Craig, I know it's for Craig. How are we getting on with negotiating for the piece of land which we eventually planned out who owned it?
It's that's in legals for you, Chair. So we've agreed a price.
Do we know how long it's
going to take? It's taken a bit longer than we wanted it to, but you know, we are chewing them along because obviously that is key to us moving a portion of the site forward.
Okay, thank you,
Jan. Right, anybody else on that one? No, let's move down then to 14.1. No?
Jim, can I just say that's another good news story? The registration of new commercial businesses.
Right, okay then, next one down.
It is a good news story, and although I don't have any proof, I'd like to stick my neck out and say that most of these will be independent businesses, which is exactly what we want. I have to give you a little speech on where I was last night, which was Marks and Spencer's at 6:15, buying my grandson school shoes. There was not a soul in there. Not a soul. And
the council meant no other customer.
Very successful, fabulous staff. I love going into Marks and Spencer's, and now they've got clerks there. It's great for us. And it's going to bring in more people. And I was talking to the staff, and they were saying, had I have come a few days earlier, there were hundreds of people in there, they'd run out of shoes, etc., etc., and they were literally flaked out on the chairs, but it was great. But I think to have these small, individual, independent businesses is crucial to Stafford Town Centre. I mean, we're really lucky, sorry to say this, chaps, but we're so lucky in Stone. They're nearly all independent. We've got a couple of crucial big ones which bring people in. But it is so, so important. And well done, Martin. Thank you, Chairman.
Right. Okay, so that's... Sorry, Councillor Barron.
Yeah, very briefly, going on from what Jill said, it is the way forward. I think nationally, it is the way forward, because I think the idea of large superstores and things like that has gone. People don't want them anymore. And I think the individual trader is definitely the move forward. I think it's something, I know that it's something Michelle and the team have been looking at.
Aye. Okay. 14.2, promoting the visitor economy. Any questions? Next one down is 1.43, unlocking the economic opportunities. No? Okay. Let's go on to the page 16. All right. The lifelong learning was mentioned earlier on when we were talking about the college. Right, the next one is the local plan, and I have mentioned to you when it'll be a special meeting of this council, this committee. Right, at the bottom, high quality design. That may come up when we look at the local plan. Right, so that's it. The end of that item over the page. Right, we've got page 17. Anybody got any questions on 17?
I think it's the same answer that Michelle gave
earlier on. Okay, then. So that's the other one about the registered providers. That's the very same as what was before. Any reason as to why we get a double entry on that? No? Okay. I mean, it can be confusing to some of the councillors, especially the chairman.
You said it was
a chairman. Well, if you remember. You know,
it's an age thing, Chairman.
It is an age thing. Joe's at the table now for the finance. And if you don't know, Joe is the finance person for this committee. Okay then. So I'm going to call the pages. Do you want to talk it through, Joe? Anything you want to say?
Just as an overview, it shows the current net expenditure budget for this committee. And obviously gives the original budget, the approved budget, the current position as at the end of quarter one against current spends. And it also gives you a current forecast for the financial year.
Right, okay, so we're answering the questions as we go then. Page 18, over the page, page 19. I've got a question from Councillor D.
I noticed on page 19 that parking increased income. Is that additional income or is that compared to the overall? We also had a COVID provision in there, so that would slightly suppress the budget.
line because of you, in terms of what's actually realistic for the council and the area at the moment. So,
a further question.
Right.
Okay, Chair. I noticed that the car allowance is 5,000.
Chair, that's the it's a favourable area, so a lot of the staff are continuing to work from home, so there's less driving between locations to do meetings and things. A lot of those meetings are virtual at the moment, so there is a slight variance against the budget on that.
Is that taken into account as well? Because obviously, staff left.
This is predominantly to do with the staff that we've got, but it's just mileage, just pure, it's purely mileage.
Right, anybody, any other questions?
Chairman, just on the offset, I noticed the increased utilities cost. One would assume with the current climate that is going to improve dramatically in the future.
Yes, through you, Chair, this is based on the first 3 months, so the bills have come in for the full year, however, they don't take effect of any increases. There's an assumption built into those figures, but obviously, an assumption at a point in time, so there is potential for those figures to increase over the course of the winter.
Thank you. And the increased parking contract, have we drawn a new contract, have we? And that's the new cost of it, or have they just increased their charges?
So, through you, Chair, the car parking cost increase is because when we did the budget last year, we're assuming a certain rate of inflation. Now, that inflation was slightly higher than the forecast as at the figures were January. Separately to the meeting. So when we built the budget, we're obviously doing that last October, so things have moved quite substantially since then, and when the parking contract was re-signed, there was a slight increase in the budget, with the budget.
Thank you, Chairman.
Okay then, anybody else on page 19? Right, let's move on to page 20. Right. Any questions on page 20? Right. Right, over the page to 21. You can see where the increased car park income came on the first paragraph. Off street, the waterfront, and the riverside. Okay, any other questions?
I was going to ask the question.
Okay, then. So we turn now to page 22.
I have a question on page 22.
On page 22, your question is?
No.
You haven't?
Yes, no.
Okay, have you got a question?
No.
You want to make a comment?
I would like to provide part of an answer.
Did you notice that it's come to the table here? I like it when he's
I'm
that.
Going to take the opportunity, Chair, through you, just to make the point I make at every committee, every time a Gypsy and Traveller site are mentioned, which is actually members do have some responsibility in trying to resolve some of these things and move them further forward. We have a budget, which 150,000, which is burning a hole in Councillor Beattie's pocket. And we would be delighted to spend that money, and yet we struggle to find the Gypsy and Traveller site. So I would really encourage every member of this committee
to actively put forward a potential site for our gypsy and traveller friends.
Through you, Chair, I acknowledge that.
Thank you.
Chairman, I think it's fair to say we are working very hard on it, and we will need to come up with something that's suitable for the travelling community and for the rest of the population by the time we take forward the local plan.
Right, is there any other questions to be asked on that page? I will ask the question.
What's the acronyms mean?
Ah, now you see, that was the question. How many of you know what FHSF means?
I do.
I know you do, but you're not taking part. No, no, again. I asked the question, to be honest with you, and Michelle was very good to tell them. Tell them again, Michelle, if you would.
FHSF.
Yep.
I can tell you the other one,
Chair. Yeah, go on then.
Multi-storey car park.
Sorry, it doesn't fit on the page very well, so that's an acronym.
So you're not the only person. I asked the question, I've got it written down, because Michelle and I had this conversation at the pre-meeting. Future High Street Fund. That's what it is. And then the multi-storey car park. Okay, that's page 22. We're over the page. We're now talking about...
Chairman, can I just move that the information be noted?
You may. Seconded. It's good having him here. He tells us what to do.
He's after you,
right.
Chair.
Thank you. Okay. It's my age again. Right, we're moving on to the work programme. Okay, then, and it's Andrew doing the talking this time.
Thank you, Chairman. The work programme can be found on page 7 of the agenda. One or two additions that came out of the Chairman's preview. I think at the November meeting we were looking at putting a report on Section 106 and on the rural strategy. Then on the January meeting there'd be a MISGRIP update. And just to clarify again, which we were going to raise at this point, but we've discussed it a couple of times, the special meeting in October for the local plan. Those are the main things I wanted to raise.
Okay, that's the main items in excess of what you got it printed in front of you. All right, and that special meeting is for all councillors, and it's not... Although, because it is going to be a committee meeting, members of the public may come along, but they're not going to speak, because their opportunity to speak will be the night afterwards. All right? But it's for us to have a look at the local plan. Okay, so I'll come to page 27. Right, over the page, which is blank, which means we have come to the end of the meeting. So thank you for your attendance. It's now 5 to 8. And it's a pleasure to welcome Craig and Paul. Okay. And I'm pleased you came, John.